it's not when we're defeated and failing that some way or another that glorifies God. It's when the Lord gets us through to victory and He gives us overcoming and triumph, and people see it and we say, hey, I didn't do that within myself. The Lord helped me. The Lord brought me through.
Has bitterness prevented you from living a victorious life? Has someone hurt you and you can't let it go? You can be set free from that pain. Don't miss today's teaching from special guest Keith Moore next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Keith Moore, and I'm delighted to be with you again today to get into the rich, rich Word of God. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? The Holy Spirit, the Bible, is living faith food, living spirit food. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jeremiah talks about, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Thank God for that which feeds our spirit. Nothing else can feed your spirit like God's words, words from the one, the Father of spirits, who made your spirit. Are you ready to receive today? Let's pray. Let's release our faith. Let's get into the Word. Father, thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the opportunity. Lord, we have nothing, we know nothing, we can do nothing without you. Oh, but we're not without you. And in you, we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. In you, we know all things we need to know. In you, we can do everything we need to do by Christ Jesus. Give everybody ears to hear, eyes that see, a heart that receives, living quickening of your spirit, answers to questions and direction for right now, a special custom tailored word for everyone in Jesus' name. We believe we receive it and we thank you for it. Amen. If you got your Bible, go ahead and get it out and open up, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15 like before. Get your paper if you've got some. Get your pen. Be ready not just to take notes on what you're hearing come through me, but you know the Lord says some other things to you that I didn't specifically say, and jot it down so that you don't let it get away from you. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Say that out loud with me. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice again, it's not just past tense gave us the victory, but present and future tense. He's gives us today, and tomorrow He'll give us victory after victory after victory. Thanks be unto God. Is there a connection between thanksgiving and victory, overcoming? Yes, there is. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, and the 14th verse says this, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor or sweet smell or fragrance of His knowledge by us in every place. Continually thanking God and victory coming into our lives and triumph after triumph after triumph sends out a spiritual fragrance to all that are around us, and it is the sweet smell of the goodness of God Himself. And the Bible says that goodness draws people to repentance. You know, it's not us being failures that makes us a good witness. Some people, you know, through religious tradition, some have had the idea that the more sick I am, the more broke I am, the more defeated I am, that some way or another that gives glory to God. No, He's not talking about defeat being a sweet smell. He said triumph. Victory is a sweet smell. No, it's not when we're defeated and failing that some way or another that glorifies God. It's when the Lord gets us through to victory and He gives us overcoming and triumph, and people see it and we say, hey, I didn't do that within myself. The Lord helped me. The Lord brought me through. And they smell the goodness of God by being around these kind of folks. Is that the kind of person you want to be? Make up your mind. I will be a sweet-smelling, a victory-smelling, thanksgiving Christian. We've been delving into this subject called Thanksgiving Victory for some days now, and I want us to go to a scripture in Galatians, the 5th chapter, Galatians chapter 5. Very important things today. I want you to not let your concentration drift. The Lord gave me a statement some years ago. Would I like to know how to increase my capacity to receive from Him? I said, yes. And He said, cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. And then also at another time, a later time, years later, He said to me, you cannot be gracious to someone who feels or believes, thinks that they deserve it. If somebody thinks they deserve something, they have taken it out of the realm of and possibility of grace. And with God, that's a huge, huge problem, because with Him, it's all by grace. Everything. Let me read to you a couple of scriptures before we read the Galatians one. In 1 Corinthians 10:30, He says, if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of? For that for which I give thanks. Notice, partaking by grace, giving thanks. Listen to Colossians 1:12. This one is very distinct on it. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Well, all the inheritance that we have in Christ is by grace. No student of the Bible would debate that. It's by grace. And how are you made a partaker? Giving thanks unto the Father, who's made us able to be a partaker. Now look at that verse in Galatians we're talking about. Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 4th verse. Galatians 5:4, the Darby translation I'm reading right now, says, you are deprived of all profit from the Christ, as separated from Him, as many as are justified by law, you are fallen from grace. Today's English version says, you have cut yourselves off from Christ, and you are outside God's grace. Who has cut themselves off? Who's fallen from the grace, or cut themselves off from the grace? Those who feel they deserve it by their keeping of the law. Let's define grace again. Grace basically means favor. Favor. And we've heard that so many times, favor or unmerited favor, that there's all almost a religious connotation. No, think about it. If I said, I'm going to do you a favor, what would that mean? Let's say you needed something and I said, well, you know, I'm going to do you a favor. What would that mean? It means you didn't deserve it. You shouldn't have expected me to do it, but I have decided to do it just out of kindness, just out of grace. So if it's of grace, then that means you didn't earn it. If it's of grace, it means you didn't deserve it. If it's by grace, it means you were not entitled to it. And there is this danger of this feeling of entitlement. A lot of times people are not even realizing that they're thinking this way, but they have let themselves get something in their mind that somebody or some group or even God Himself should do for them. And they think about it until they just expect it to happen. And friend, when you get in this, I'm not talking about just expecting it by faith, thankfully, but expecting it as though it's owed to you, as though you deserve it some way or another, and there's no thankfulness there, If that's the case, you've cut yourself off from grace. Oh, how serious this is. Now look with me in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter 12, and this gives a specific, identifier for when people are getting in this kind of condition. Hebrews 12 and verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now this sums it up tremendously. If you are failing of the grace of God, thinking that something's owed you, thinking that you deserve it, bitterness will begin to be evident. Bitterness. You know, we talked about King Ahab several broadcasts past, and if you weren't able to be with us, get on the BVOV website and watch it and get caught up. We went into some detail about how King Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard, and he got it in his mind that he should have this, and that Naboth kind of owed him this sale or transaction. And when Naboth said, no, I can't, the Lord told me I can't do it. Oh, he got upset. He went home and he wouldn't eat and he fell across his bed. And listen to the New English translation says, he went to his palace bitter and angry that Naboth the Jezreelite had said, I will not sell you my vineyard. Did you hear that? Bitter and angry. When somebody is bitter, you can trace it back to this unthankfulness. You can trace it back to this, I deserve it. Somebody has done something that you don't feel like you deserved, or somebody has not done something for you that you think, well, they owe me at least that. They're supposed to do that. The Word tells them to do that. They're supposed to do that. Well, it doesn't matter if the Word tells them to do it or not. They've got a free will. Well, yeah, they have to do it. No, they never have to do it. People never have to obey the Bible. People never have to walk in love with you. People never have to be nice or kind to you. They should, but they don't have to. And here's the thing now. You don't deserve it just because of who and what you are. If you think you deserve it and you think people owe it to you, now you've made it impossible for them to be gracious to you, because anything they would do in that area, you think you deserve it. You wouldn't even be thankful. You'd just think, well, that's what they should have done. And you're not realizing what pride and arrogancy that is, that you think just because you woke up in the morning, somebody's supposed to do all these things for you because of how amazing you are. No, listen, it's not true. The truth is, we don't deserve the least of the Lord's goodness and kindness and mercy. But we can have it anyway. We could enjoy it anyway, but only by grace. Go with me to a scripture over in Luke, please. Go to Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke chapter 15, and you'll see a really good example of this. Familiar passage to many people is the man that had the two sons, and out of this story we get what we call the story of the prodigal son. But let me just read it some to you and notice some things relative to what we're looking at about grace. So verse 11, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided to them, both boys, his living, both sons. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey to a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. He just blew it, partying and doing things he shouldn't have been involved in doing, just wasted his inheritance that his father gave him. And when he spent all that he had, there was a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want, went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, who sent him to feed his pigs in the fields. He was so hungry, he was tempted to eat the pig food, and no man gave to him, the scripture said. Verse 17 says, when he came to himself, you know, a lot of people have to get low, don't they, before they come to themselves. One preacher preaching on this, he said, this guy, he spent all his money and went through that, and then he sold his coat and he went through that, and then he sold his luggage and went through that, and he sold his shirt and went through that, and he pulled off his T-shirt and got rid of that, and then he came to himself. You know, sometimes people have to lose what they've got. They have to lose their privileges, their opportunities. Don't be like that. That's being hard-headed. That's being stubborn. You could be thankful today without losing anything. You could be thankful right now, and that qualifies you. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but that qualifies you to have grace to keep what you have and not lose it. You know, you're in danger of losing what you're not thankful for. What you become ungrateful about, you're in danger of losing. Serious business. Well, he came to himself and realized, man, I'm in a bad shape here. And he said, look, how many hired servants does my father have? And they got plenty of bread to eat and extra. And here I am starving to death. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. Now listen, does he think he deserves being reinstated to his sonship? No, obviously. Does he think he deserves a bunch of things from his father? No. He's just going to go ask him, can he get a job? And he's going to tell him, I don't feel like I deserve having all the sonship privileges. But you see, by him coming this way, it allowed the father to be gracious to him. Can you see this? He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Stop right here. Does he act like the father owes him something? Does he think the father owes him something? No. Do you see humility here? Yes. He's acknowledging, oh, I've missed it. Oh, I've messed up. And I don't feel like you owe me anything, Father. But he's going to go on to tell him, could you give me a job? I don't think you owe me that, but I'm going to ask, you know, can you give me a job? But before he could finish his job speech about not being worthy and wanting a job, the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Does he deserve that? Certainly not. But he's getting it. Grace. Somebody say grace. And put a ring on his hand. Does he deserve that? No, he doesn't. But he's getting it. Grace. Put shoes on his feet. Does he deserve these fine shoes? No, he doesn't. But he's wearing them and enjoying them. Grace. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let's eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and he's alive again. And he was lost and he's found. And they begin to be merry. Oh, glory to God. Think about this son. Now he's failed so miserably. He's sinned so grossly. And yet, here he's sitting there in the father's house, the music, everybody's rejoicing and treating him like gold, and he's got the fine clothes on, he's got the nice jewelry on, he's got the fine shoes on. Does he deserve any of this? No. But the father wanted to do it for him. Oh, are you listening, saints? And he's able to do it because the boy doesn't act like he deserves it. He doesn't come in there acting like, yeah, I've been gone a while, but you know, I made some mistakes, but I still should have this, and I should still do this, and you owe me this because I'm your boy. Oh, friend, you have that attitude, and you will cut yourself off from the grace of God. You will fail of the grace of God, and notice that's exactly what was happening with his older brother. His older brother came in from the field. And he hears all this music and dancing. You know, that's pretty stout dancing if you can hear it off in the distance. And he called one of his servants and said, what's going on? And they said, your brother's come. And your father has killed the fatted calf because he received him safe and sound. and he was angry. Would not go in. Now, let's just stop right here. Is he thankful? Is he thankful that his younger brother didn't die out there in sin? Wasn't lost? No, he's not thankful at all. He's not thankful that his brother is back home, safe and in one piece. He's not thankful that there's been a reconciliation between his younger brother and the father. He's not thankful at all. He's just mad. Notice we read, let me read it to you again, Hebrews 12:15. He said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Is the elder son, is he troubled? Yeah. Is he angry and bitter? Absolutely. Listen to him. He said, he was angry, verse 28, and he wouldn't go in the house. So the father came out and entreated him. Does he deserve the father to come out and treat? No, but the father is so gracious. Isn't this a beautiful picture of the Father God? How gracious he is, how merciful he is. And the elder son said to him, lo, look, these many years I serve you. I've served you all these years. And I never transgressed at any time your commandment. You believe that? I don't. He hadn't served the Father all these years and never messed up. No, I don't believe that. And yet, you never gave me even a kid, a young goat, that I might make merry with my friends. As soon as this your son was come, and who wasted and devoured your living on harlots, you killed for him the fatted calf. Now, let's just stop right here. Is he bitter? Obviously. He's bitter. Is he thankful? No way. Can you see the connection, friend? I don't care if it's you or if it's me. You begin to be unthankful. You begin to be bitter. You cut yourself off from the grace of God. It's a sign that you're failing of the grace of God. The father said, look, son, I know you're always with me, and all that I have is thine. Now get the picture. This elder son had been doing without year after year. He didn't know what belonged to him. He was failing of the grace that the Father had extended to him, getting more and more bitter by the day. Why? Because of his unthankful, I deserve it, I'm entitled attitude. Friend, don't let that happen to you. Cast it aside. Say, no, 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 Father. I'm not going to feel that way anymore. I don't deserve a thing, but I do believe in your grace, and I'm thanking you for your mercy today. Praise God. Stay right there. I'll be back in just a moment.
Getting a job.
Paying bills.
I would just like to spend more time with my family.
Peace of mind.
Finding hope.
What is it that the world needs now more than ever? God's love. His love is all around you. From the moment you get up to the end of your day, God is there when you need Him. The promise He has for you is more than enough. That's what Kenneth Copeland and Keith Moore are talking about in 20 dynamic teaching sessions. They take God's word and promises right to where you live with their own life experiences and powerful insights. Whether you're studying these teachings one by one or with friends and family, you'll discover a change. You're living life in the love of God. You're pursuing love and enjoying an abundant life. That's exactly what happens when your world is changed by the most powerful force in the universe, God's love. Order your copy of The Promise of More Than Enough, now available for just $18. For a product discount and faster processing, log on to kcm.org and order online. In this dynamic series of 20 messages, Kenneth Copeland and Keith Moore share about all the provision God has for you. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Order your copy today.
Thank God for this series that's available this week called The Promise of More Than Enough. Brother Kenneth Copeland and myself were able to minister on this for some 20 sessions on the great, great love of God. You know, 1 John 4 talks about, verse 14, I believe it is, we have seen and testify, and we believe and receive the love of God, he goes on to say. That's verse 16. We known and believed the love of God. This series will help you to become acquainted with and recognize and know and receive the love of God. Get yours today. Also, there is the Thanksgiving Victory. You can go online at kcm.org and download the entire thing, 14 messages on that. Take advantage of that. I'm so delighted that the Copelands have asked me to be on the broadcast with you. You know, hold them up in prayer. Believe with them, support them with your faith and with your resources. And if you need prayer, Kenneth Copeland Ministries is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in the Fort Worth office. You just call that number, 1-800-600-7395, and they'll pray with you and believe with you and join in faith with you. These are people that know how to pray, know how to believe God. And they have different offices around the world. Check and get on kcm.org and find out information about your area. Mark your calendar also. There's going to be a New Year's Eve service at Eagle Mountain International Church in Fort Worth, Texas, on the grounds of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Brother Copeland will be ministering on this New Year's Eve service, starts at 8 p.m. Again, kcm.org has all the information. Thanks for joining me today. Going to be back tomorrow and have some great things about Thanksgiving Victory. Till then, remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a copy of this week's broadcasts on CD or DVD, go to our website or call or write to us today. Remember to download your free copy of Keith Moore's Thanksgiving Victory. This engaging teaching will open your eyes to the power of being thankful and how it can bring blessing, healing, and prosperity to your life. Tell your friends and family to download their copies today. Thanksgiving Victory by Keith Moore, now available free on kcm.org. No matter where you are, if you have internet access, you are seconds away from life-changing answers thanks to the power of search, all new at kcm.org. It's easy. Just find this keyword search block, enter a word, speaker name, topic, or scripture. Search gives you instant 24/7 access to more than 40 years of revelation and inspiration from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Try the new keyword search today at kcm.org. Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is February 19th and 20th, 2010 in Scottsdale, Arizona at the DoubleTree Paradise Valley Resort. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the 2010 Branson Victory Campaign, March 4th through 6th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. For more information, call 800-600-7395 or visit our website at kcm.org.